It's time to start your day with Randy and Company.
News team, assemble!
Talking about all your favorite teams from preps to pros.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare to witness the greatest happening in sport.
Now, here's your leadoff man, Randy Roof.
Hey, good morning, State Line, and welcome to another edition of Randy and Company here on Sportsman Radio 1330. My name is Randy Roof, Sports Director at WNTA, along with my co-host on Thursday, Alex Gary, for day three in a row. Alex is all pepped up and ready to go. 3 days of getting up at this hour. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm on a month and a half break from umpiring.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go. Was last night your last one?
Yeah. So now that everybody's off to, like, tournaments, and that's when they get the real umps.
Yeah.
Not the little part-time people like
you. Sure. And, of course, we have Air Jordan Goethe, our producer today. How are you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to say I'm on fourth day in a row, guys.
Yeah, I know. You're used to it. You and I have got bodies that are built for this, right?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a stretch.
I don't know if there's any body built for this.
Sitting down for 2 hours and talking?
Well, sitting down for 2 hours, definitely. And, I guess, and talking.
So we have to have good butt muscles?
Well, flat butts.
Yeah. Well,
we do have the seat.
We do have a half time to, you know, stretch out, do a couple laps around the
And my problem is
station.
I don't take advantage of that. Yeah. I stay in my chair for throughout the halftime too. Hey, we're glad you're with us here on Sportsman Radio 1330. It's a kind of an overcast day right now. We're supposed to get a little precipitation finally today. It's been a little while since we had any. The thunderstorms possibly will be coming this afternoon. High today of 79. And currently it is 58 degrees, so a little cool out there, a little surprise for me. And, you know, I know it's 4 days since I've been back, but I'm coming off a week of being in the Arizona desert. So days of 90 degrees, and actually we had 2 or 3 days of 100 degrees out there. We were painting and roofing and things like that.
But it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. Yeah, everybody gives me that story, and I say, you know what, if you stick your head in an oven, it's a dry heat too. It's still hot. So, feels good to be back here back in the studio again, and we've got a lot of stuff going on. Hey, I just want to remind you a couple of things. First of all, if you want to join us for the conversation, we would love to have you give us some topics you'd like to talk about. The number is 815-874-1330, 815-874-1330. Kind of want to bring up a couple of things that we've got going here. There's a lot of stuff going on in the studio. We're kind of really ramping up. Summer's the slow time of the year, but still we're already prepping for what's coming up in the fall. And, of course, that mostly means football, and it's just high school football and all that stuff. We're getting ready for our annual magazine that we're putting out that will preview the high school, the Big Northern and the Nick 10 football races.
It's annual now.
It's annual now, yep. Right? I couldn't say it last year, but this year it will be annual, yep, because it'll be second one. And check out all the stuff that's going on. I want you to get check out sportsfanrockford.com, our website, the new and improved website. A lot of information on there, a lot of things going on, and we'll keep updating and adding to that. Different things that we have going, and if you want to join the huddle, that's one great thing to do. There's a place up there to join the huddle, and then you can be the first one to find out when we're doing new things, if there's trips we're going on. We've got a couple of big trips planned that we can't talk about right now, but we're really excited about that hopefully we can start talking about in the very near future. Some information on how you can listen to us in different ways. Of course, you can always listen to us over the air. You can listen to us streamed live on the website, but also you can listen to us on your phone via our app. And also through your Alexa device and your Google device. And we have some new information specifically about the Alexa device. So if you go to sportsfanrockford.com, take a look. It gives you instructions on how to get to so where you can be at home and just tell Alexa, Alexa, play Sportsfan Rockford, and you'll get all the information you need. And you'll be able to listen to us crisp and clear any time of the day.
So really, there's no way to escape you.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. You can't say, I didn't have a chance. And then the best part is we've got the podcast that after the show, we post them on the website. So you can't even use the excuse, I don't get up at that time of day. You got any time of day, you can just pop it in and listen to it and check out all the informative, intelligent things that Alex and I and Jordan have had to say for the last 2 to 3 days now. And there's plenty of that out there, isn't there?
And yeah, it's a short car ride.
It is.
if that's your judge, then it's a short
And then today, we got some great things going on today here among our guests today. We are going to have Bobby Reagan from Barstool Sports. We're going to talk a little hoops with him, NBA, college, whatever it may be. There's a lot of basketball information, even though we're still out of the season. Basketball always seems to be fighting for space in the headlines. And at 7:30, we've got Eric Lambert talking Chicago Bears, and it is that time. Camp opens for the Bears at Bourbonnais tomorrow. So we want to kind of preview what's going on, talk with Eric about what the great expectations are for the Bears, at least heading into camp, the status of Roquan Smith and things like that. There's a lot of news going on with the Bears as well. So look forward to talking to him. And speaking of the Bears, we're really excited about this, that starting on Monday, we are going to have a daily, four times a day actually, Bears training camp report driven by Kelly's Market. It is with Steve Nelson. He'll be at Bourbonnais, and he'll be giving us a report four times a day at 7, 11, 1, and 4. Different reports throughout the day. So he'll give you information on what's going on, the latest news, and what's happening with the Bears from Bourbonnais. So he's right there in the middle of all of it. So he knows what's going on. So as I said, driven by Kelly's Market is the Bears training camp reports. Look forward to that starting Monday. It'll be running Mondays through Saturdays. So that's really, I'm real excited about that as well. So as we do always, guys, every morning, first thing, kind of got the business part of this out of the way, I'd like to talk with Jordan about headlines. And I know it's kind of slow headlines probably because of the, but yet it's not. You know, even though it's the All-Star break, there's still stuff going on.
Yeah, so it was kind of a slow night last night. I mean, there's two blockbuster trades that happened yesterday. But first, I kind of want to get to the big. The 2018 ESPY Awards.
All right.
And I don't know if you guys watched it. Alex, did you watch it last night?
I did not. I was working on my Harlem project after the baseball game.
The big Wall of Fame, which we talked about yesterday. Yeah.
And again, that is on our podcast and our website if you want to check it out, like you mentioned earlier.
Yep, exactly.
So, guys, there's a few different awards. The best game with U.S. women's hockey when they defeated Canada in the gold medal matchup this past Winter Olympics. I was really happy to see that for the best game award.
Is that the one we picked yesterday? I'm trying to remember who we picked first.
I did. I know, Alex, you picked the Georgia-Oklahoma game.
I said I would not pick the Georgia-Oklahoma game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
lost.
We picked that one.
We all picked U.S. women's hockey.
We got that one right, yeah.
I never pick a game Oklahoma loses. Like that one with the crazy Boise State thing,
yep.
Right? That's a terrible game.
The best moment went to the Minnesota Vikings when they defeated the Saints in the NFC divisional round playoff.
And that was Alex's call.
I was talking to my sister who lives in Minnesota when that happened, and we're both like, what?
I'm still surprised that the 16 UMBC did not win that award, though. Upsetting number one seed Virginia.
And I'm sorry, so was it Agumbawale's basket and that
category? Yeah, just because there was no drama to it. They beat them from opening tip.
That's true.
You know, but that's still, the thing. Everybody's sitting here, everybody's like, oh, wow, this is happening. You know, and you got used to it. And by the end of the game, Virginia was a laughingstock.
It
didn't have the shock factor that the football game did.
Right.
Well, speaking of Notre Dame basketball, the best play was awarded to Notre Dame basketball. The last second buzzer beater to defeat Mississippi State in the college women's championship,
by?
Which is phenomenal.
Can you say it?
I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
Come on. Ugunbowale.
Yeah.
Ugunbowale. Erike Ugunbowale.
There we go.
All right.
And the best team award went to the Houston Astros, I'm kind of a little surprised to see that. Yep. I've never seen a baseball team get
that. Alex called that one, too. You and I were all over the Golden State Warriors, called that one.
What about the best breakthrough athlete, Donovan Mitchell?
Yep, we all called that one.
Well, I said Kamara.
Oh, that's right. You said Kamara, so that's right.
I mean, there's a few good ones. Probably the biggest surprise of the night, I would probably say the best male athlete, Alex Ovechkin. The best male athlete this
year. You know, here's one thing. This is just, I know it doesn't have the same amount of cachet, but it's a much more drama than the Oscars. The Oscars, if you go to the Vegas odds every year, they get every category right but one. Everybody kind of just knows who's going to win the Oscars.
Right, right.
Whereas this one's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise. This makes it more fun to watch.
I watched the awards show last night. I thought it was phenomenal. I mean, they did a lot of great awards, like the Pat Tillman Award, the Jim Kelly for the Jimmy V Award and stuff like that. I mean, there's tons of great awards that were announced last night. Danica Patrick did a pretty good job, the open monologue. I don't know if you guys caught that.
I did not.
I thought it was good. I mean, of course, she doesn't write all these jokes.
Right.
So I thought it was good, but I thought past years was a little bit better.
Well, and even if she has to write them, she has to deliver them. If she delivers them well, that's okay. But she's not a comedian. So, I mean,
she tried her best.
I think it would be hard. So, give her credit for taking a chance of going there and doing it.
Well, she called out LeBron James. I mean, the reason why she did that is because LeBron, I guess when he hosted it, I don't remember him ever hosting it, but whenever he took the stage at some point, he called out Danica, so she returned the favor. So she called out his little hairdo.
Long memories.
Same with Odell Beckham. She said he should return healthy this season, but his hairdo is still questionable. I thought that was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
So there's a few good jokes in there.
Odell Beckham, he should probably host one of these years. I mean, Super Bowl commercial is just awesome.
Yeah.
He can just come out and do that.
We need Eli Manning.
As a straight man,
yeah. You don't want Eli doing comedy.
Yeah.
Hey, did Danica rip on Aaron Rodgers at all?
She did not rip on him, but he was in a little skit they made. Who's Danica? You know, kind of like, you know, like those skits that Peyton Manning's done last year, the year before, something like that. You know, the host will have these little skits.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers was, quote, her high school boyfriend. I guess that's what she's playing.
Okay.
So he had like the old mustache and the old school hairdo and whatnot. And it's like, he was labeled as the bad boy, quote. I don't know, it's kind of funny.
He's had some pretty questionable mustaches in his career, so I'm sure that was pretty interesting as well.
So the biggest news yesterday in baseball, of course, is the Dodgers have officially landed Manny Machado after a few little snags over the last 48 hours. They officially land him. In return, the Dodgers will send over five prospects, which include really one top prospect and outfielder, Yusniel Diaz. Other than that, though, there's about four other just kind of throwing prospects to see if they can beat anything.
You know, their stats all look good, but they're all older. They're all like 22, 23.
Yeah, they're closer to. The one thing I was checking that out, too. And yeah, he was, Yusniel Diaz was the Dodgers' number four prospect. He's number 84 in the top 100. Which means they had four guys in the top 100 because he was the fourth and the last of their big four. And then Zach Pop and Rylan Bannon, again, these are names most people have no idea who they are, but I just checked it out. Those both were in the Dodgers' top 30 rankings. And then the other two guys were not in their top 30. But I was stunned that they gave up five guys, five prospects for a two-month rental.
I guess I wasn't. I guess for a Machado, age 25, I would have thought they would have got two of the top prospects, just landing one, and it also with Cuban, which their track record's iffy.
Yeah,
you know. So,
but he's having good numbers, like you said. So,
career.
But I was looking at, because at my interest, of course, from a Milwaukee standpoint, was what would be the equivalent of Milwaukee would have had to given up to get this? Because apparently, the rumors were that Milwaukee's offer was the second best offer. In fact, there was hope because yesterday there was a snag. It wasn't announced. It probably wasn't officially announced until late afternoon, early evening. And the rumblings were that there were some questionable health situations with some of these prospects they were getting back. And I would say they either ironed them out or they replaced the questionable ones with healthy prospects. I don't know how it all worked out, but in the end, they made the trade work.
I did see a tweet that the Brewers offer, the players they offer, Brett Phillips was on that list, which I was like, okay, I mean, he's an older prospect. I mean, he's had his cup of coffee in the league and whatnot. Also, Burns, they put up there as a second overall prospect. Now, that's a good player. And then the third guy was just no throwing guy.
Well, I'm curious. I would like to see that. I was hunting around to see if there's any rumblings.
I'll try to find it for
you. Who they were offering, because Burns will be the one that makes sense. Burns is about the equivalent of what Yusniel Diaz is. Burns is Milwaukee's number two, but on the top 100, he's ranked 55, where Diaz is 84. So those are relatively equal. So I'm looking in terms of what Milwaukee would have given up. And then if you said Brett Phillips, that makes sense. Brett Phillips has proven himself as a defensive player in the majors. He still has a questionable bat in terms of strikeouts too much. But what I heard was that Milwaukee was really holding off on giving up Burns. They don't want to give up Burns. I think their top two guys, Hira and Burns, were like untouchable. And after that, they could have anything, and they wanted Burns.
See, the thing I find amazing, well, the Dodgers, I think they had to make the move, because if they didn't, someone else in the National League was going to. Mm-hmm. And if they want to win the championship, their window is right now. Corey Seager's done for the year. You need a guy to replace him at shortstop for the long term. Plus, they have a chance, because it's the Dodgers. They have all the money in the world. So they can re-sign Machado at the end of the season if they really want to.
Somebody has to move from shortstop, though.
It'd probably be Machado.
And he says he's not. He wants to play short the rest of his career.
So therefore, if that's the case, and he's out of the power next year as a free agent, he could say, I play short or I look somewhere else.
But they could say, here's $200 million, move to third base. Okay, sounds good.
So it could be Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think there's... But the Yankees also are set at short, isn't he?
Gregorius is a very good player. Machado's better, right?
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of teams. There's several teams that could come in with that kind of money.
Yeah.
There's some question marks on his defense ability for Manny Machado this year, at least. But, I mean, he's a phenomenal third baseman. We all know that. He's a gold glove third baseman. Absolutely. So that's kind of the big story. Again, if the Dodgers didn't make the move, then someone else would have, and then you'd be kind of stuck. So Manny Machado, I'm kind of surprised, because I thought I had at least maybe three top 15 prospects in your farm system.
No, not only for rental. One? Not for rental, no.
It's not like it's a normal reliever. Like, this is a prime guy who's in his prime, one of the best players in the entire baseball.
I know we're 10 years removed, but Brewers only gave up one top reliever or one top player and a lesser guy for CC Sabathia.
I hate those rental deals. I mean, back in the mid 2000s, the Reds had kind of a. They were in it to the end, and they were going after the Brewers, right? Oh, no, it's earlier than that. So it was the Reds and the Brewers that year, and the Reds traded B.J. Ryan for Guzman, the pitcher.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Jose Guzman,
yeah. And he pitched pitched really well down the stretch. I think it went 7-0, and then in the last weekend lost to the Brewers, and they didn't make the playoffs. Well, they traded B.J. Ryan for him, who had an 8-9 year run with B.J. Toronto as one of the top relievers, and the Reds couldn't find a closer to save their life. I, you know, this rental, and he left. Yeah. After half season, so I could see why you only get one, especially when it's a half year rental.
Right.
Like if you got a guy who's under control for like a year and a half, then maybe you get more. Because that's been the new trend is you don't wait until the walk year to try to trade a guy. You wait to the year before the walk year.
Right.
Because then you can get a lot more in the trade.
And the neat thing with that by waiting a year before is then you've got him the rest of that year and all of next year, and by that following July. If you're not in it, no matter how well he's performing, now you've got trade bait. Mm-hmm. So you benefit both ways by doing it that way.
You know what I think might have been a better deal for the Orioles? If they say, here, we'll just take one top-tier prospect, but you have to take Chris Davis.
Well, that's.
Yeah. I think that would have been a better deal because you have to get that contract. You have to find a way to get that contract off the books.
Well, especially when you're in the Orioles. I mean, if you're the Yankees, you can swallow that, or the Cubs or the Dodgers, you can swallow that contract. But you Baltimore can't. You know,
wouldn't that make sense though?
Yeah, but who's going to take it? I mean, they might even. Well, they didn't have to though. Oh, yeah. Instead of giving all their
young stars.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. It could have been a better deal just to get that contract off the books. Therefore, then you can actually start the rebuild.
Right. I just think you're not going to get a lot, especially in that a lot of top prospects for a 2 month rental, and maybe the Dodgers can give up more, and obviously they must have to get it to land, and I don't think that Milwaukee gave as much, the Phillies probably not as much, because the Dodgers know, like you said, they have a really good shot of also keeping him. Milwaukee and Philly, I don't think have the money or would be able to keep him next year, so they know it's just for 2 months. So you're getting rid of a guy, some multiple guys that could help you down the road cheap.
Yeah.
And a team, a small market teams like Milwaukee, they got to still live on the cheap a little bit. So.
So later tonight, guys, the baseball returns to action. The Cubs start their second half of the season. They host a less Mike Matheny team. There's no Mike Matheny anymore. Yep. The St. Louis Cardinals come to town. First pitch at 6:00 tonight. The only two teams playing tonight, actually. So it's only game. So that should be in all your guys' television coming up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they come back now, the Cubs, and get ready for the second half. And interesting to see what the Cardinals are going to be like under the new regime. So
yeah, it seems like they have all. I mean, they fire like three or four different coaches along with Matheny.
They sent the hitting instructors along with them because I think they were close.
Yeah,
I think they there were like clubhouse issues that really kind of did
Matheny. Like that. Yeah, well, it's funny because in this last year and a half or so, isn't it funny how you heard about clubhouse issues in the almighty Cardinals clubhouse, which is supposed to be the Cardinals do it the right way. They never any problems and all that.
Cardinal way.
The Cardinal way and all that. In the same year when you kind of heard rumblings in the Patriots with all the suddenly the whining about it's not fun and all this and the supposed Garoppolo versus Brady fight about a year and a half ago and all. And then you also heard rumblings of stuff going on with Kawhi Leonard and San Antonio, this one franchise that kind of has it together. It's always business as usual. And these three kind of top-of-the-flight franchises are having issues. It's just really rare, and they all happened in the last year or so.
I heard it got from a few different reports that it got so bad for the Cardinals in their clubhouse that Dexter Fowler, who just had a newborn baby like about a week or two ago, that he was texting the players whether or not if he was going to be able to show up or not, not telling the coach. It got so bad that he was not communicating with Matheny.
Yeah.
It got so bad. And Dexter Fowler, everyone loves him. He's a great teammate. He did wonders here in Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's pretty surprising, pretty alarming.
It is, yeah. So it's pretty funny how fast. I mean, I say funny because I mean it. From those outside, the Cub fans, Brewer fans, we can look at that. And even Reds fans, for that matter, for Alex. And so it's nice to see the mighty kingdom of the St. Louis Cardinals show little cracks in the walls here. Hey, I tell you what, we'll take a break. You're running along. We'll come back. We'll finish up on our headlines. So stick around. You listen to Randy and Company on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
From the 13WREX newsroom, I'm Kristen Crowley. The Boone County Board approves a new solar farm project. It was 8-3 in favor of the solar farm. The company is called
Welcome back to Sports Fan Radio 1330. My name is Randy Roof. You listen to Randy and Company. And we're right in the middle of headlines here with Air Jordan Goethe, and we took our break. So, Jordan, kind of pick her back up again. We got big NBA news, of course.
Yeah, so the blockbuster trade last night, guys, we had two blockbuster trades happen yesterday. Pretty crazy in the middle of July for this to happen. But in basketball, the Spurs have agreed to send Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green over to Toronto in exchange for DeMar DeRozan, backup center Jakob Poeltl, former lottery pick, and a protected 2019 first-round pick. And the thing that's interesting about this protection is that it's a 1-20 pick protection. Therefore, if it's anything lower or higher than 20th overall pick. The San Antonio gets everything lower than the 20th. Toronto keeps it.
Yeah. So and it's basically that late. It's basically a second round pick. So with that, the pick is kind of a moot point.
And if I'm San Antonio, I would ask for a 2020 first round pick.
Yeah.
Because if somehow, some way Toronto does not keep Kawhi Leonard next year, if they don't re-sign him, they're probably going to go to rebuild mode.
Yeah.
Because you have no one else to build around besides Kyle Lowry and Jonas and maybe Fred VanVleet. So.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing, this whole Kawhi one, though, gets me more so much in the trade. Because you knew it was going to happen, and the rumblings happened yesterday, so we knew it was going to be, he was going to go to Toronto. The fact now there's talk about him not might sitting out or not play. First of all, there's been no talk out there from Kawhi himself. I haven't seen a quote from him anywhere, so this is all other people talking. But my question is, why? I mean, that's so much of a ridiculous thing. When you sign your contract, you're under control by the club for how many years, and he's under control by the Spurs at least through next year. You know that going in that you could be traded, unless you have a no trade contract. Well, then bargain that into your contract decisions. So you've got to live with where you go, and you can't just pout and say, I want to go to L.A. or I'm not going to play. Yeah, he can still do it. He could sit out. But my question is, what is he gained by it? What's wrong with playing for Toronto? He didn't want to play in this for the Spurs. He knew he was going to go somewhere else. And I don't know why he thought he'd just get his way and go where he wanted to go. So the fact that he sits out, he's going to lose money if he sits out, a lot of money. And from my understanding, too, and I was looking something up the other day about what does he lose, that if he sits out the entire season, I believe he loses his free agency abilities for next year. So you can't sit out a whole year because then he totally loses what he's been basically fighting for. I would assume he stays under control of the Raptors for one more season. So he doesn't really gain anything. And my question is, why sit out? What is he? I understand if you're sitting out because you're in a contract dispute in terms of what you're making or something like that. If you feel you're underpaid, I can get that. But just a matter of, well, I don't want to play with these guys, or I don't want to go to Toronto, it just seems foolish. If that's the case, again, this is not coming from Kawhi. At least it's all secondhand talk. But I just think it's not going to happen. When it all settles down, he will play. He will play somewhat happily for them from the start of the beginning of the season. And I think he'll enjoy another really good season, and then he'll make big money, move on to L.A. or wherever he wants to go next year.
Well, the trade gives Toronto what chance to offer him $51 million more?
$190 million they can offer him.
Whereas he could only get $140 with somebody else?
$140, $150. It depends
on
what.
So that's the goal is to get him to Toronto, which from what I read is a great city to live in, right?
Yeah. And it's a good team. It's not like he got traded to the classic old L.A. Clippers back when they would win about 24 games a year. He's playing for a team that, with him, very well could win the East.
Now it is. Now he wanted to go. He's from San Diego State, right? That's where he went to college.
Right.
And he wanted to play back in L.A., mm-hmm. right? So they traded him about as far away. Right? Until the NBA gets a team in Iceland, that's about as far away as they could send him. So I can see why he'd be like a little bit upset there. But my thing is just basketball. Most people that are in the NBA love basketball. Like they'll play, until they're... Dr. J put out a YouTube video of him still dunking in his 60s.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I can't imagine just sitting out a season and working out and playing with your buddies.
Yeah.
Right? I just can't imagine somebody doing that in the prime of their career.
I don't get what you'd gain from it. And you might even lose a step or two. Playing with your buddies is not the same as playing, an NBA team, NBA games and all that stuff. So I just don't understand this talk. And that's why I really don't believe it. Because he's not holding out for you. He can't gain anything by holding out. Could he gain a better contract from them? No. So what does he get out of it? It's nothing. So I think the hammer's totally on in the Raptors' hand in terms of the power. And Alex, you mentioned, I'd forgotten about this. Who was it, Gus?
Gus Williams. Yeah, so the other day when I posted Gus Williams in my top 100, I looked, and Gus Williams sat out an entire season at the age of 27. Oh, in a contract with Seattle, which he ended up signing with Supersonics.
Uh-huh.
But, 27 years old, he's coming off his two best seasons ever, and he sat the whole season out. That's a long time ago, though, when the money wasn't as big.
Right.
I mean,
right.
This guy's going to be he's already a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to work another day in his life.
I don't even know what the contract that Kawhi has right now. It's pretty darn good money. And he knows a year from now it'll be great money. So again, I the whole sitting out, I think,
and again,
a lot of
posturing. He's got a shot to go to the NBA Finals,
right?
He's got to get through Philadelphia and Boston,
yeah.
Who neither of teams have gotten to the finals,
right?
And you're just basically taking they had the best record in the conference last year, mm-hmm. and you're taking one player out who disappointed in the playoffs, putting a guy in who has a track record in the playoffs, and they got another guy.
Yeah, it was Green. Yeah. So they're in great shape. In fact, I think I saw one spot where one of the Vegas odds has them jump, leapfrog to the top of the Eastern as far as odds to win the Eastern Division, even ahead of the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
That surprised me a little bit. I still don't think they're better than the Celtics, but even though, again, they're at least in the top two, you know, if you want to make an argument. And with that, why would you sit out? And we had a chance to, you know, a very good chance of going to the championship.
I think one of the storylines we're forgetting about this move is that with the acquisition of Kawhi Leonard now and the departure of DeMar DeRozan, doesn't that open the door for Fred VanVleet to start if the door has not already been open?
I think so.
Well, I had thought they were already going to start him. But, you know, when they were down two zip to the LeBrons, right?
Cleveland?
The Cavaliers, yeah. Whatever. The LeBrons.
The LeBrons, yeah. The Cleveland LeBrons.
They started him. I was watching it because, like, you know, I was looking around and nobody else gets this. I'm like, Fred VanVleet's first start. So when the chips were down and they were at their darkest moment, they put Fred in the starting lineup. Then they started the next game.
Uh-huh.
And then you look with the way basketball's going with everybody going small. Put him and Kyle Lowry in the same lineup and go small. Now you can do it definitely because Kawhi's a better defender and he's bigger than DeRozan. So it's a natural fit. They'll just have a small front court, but everybody's got a small front court nowadays.
And a much better defensive lineup altogether because Fred's a good defensive player and, of course, Kawhi's
a great
one.
Plus, you don't sign a guy. I don't think you sign a guy to the Fred's contract as a sixth man.
Most likely not. Most likely not. I mean, I could see they might if they're really loaded. I mean, Golden State would sign as a sixth man of that kind of money.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd be seventh or eighth on there and still get big money probably. Okay, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to discuss something. We've actually got to talk about this yesterday. It came up 2 days ago with Alex, and we were in the studio with us. We were going to do it yesterday. We held off one more day, and that is sports cards, baseball cards, football cards, basketball cards. We're talking a little bit about our collections. We put it out on Facebook to ask some of you, who are some of the, what is your favorite baseball card or sports card that you have? What's the most valuable card you have? Some people responded, and we'd also like you to give us a call and talk with us as well. The number again is 815-874-1330. When we come back, we're going to talk a little baseball cards. So stick around. You're listening to Randy and Company on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
More Randy and Company after this on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome back to Sports Fan Radio 1330 and Randy and Company. We're getting ready to talk the big baseball card talk that we have been kind of jabbering about for a couple days now. And now it's time to kind of tell what you got, the best you've got. I put out there on Facebook for our listeners to give us a kind of idea of what's for the cards you got, your most valuable card or your favorite card. That's sort of the same thing. A lot of times it's not. I know for me it's not. A couple of responses we got on our Facebook. One is from Jeff Anderson. He said his George Brett rookie card, and he got it from some guy named Randy. So, full disclosure, Jeff is my nephew, and I gave him that card. I even said on there, oh, that sounds like a really great guy. And he says, yeah, you might know him. Another one I saw online from our Facebook, Ryan Jensen. He was a huge Don Beebe fan as a kid. Don Beebe, remember, is the really fast receiver for the Green Bay Packers. In fact, Beebe's from the Chicago area. He has a speed and agility camp that's become very popular.
Wasn't he the special teamer from the Bills?
Yes, special teamer from the Bills. And his son just played for NIU last couple of years, the wide receiver, I believe. So he's kind of well-known in those ranks. And he, Ryan said he met him and had him sign a football card for the Bills, Panthers, and Packers. He played for all three. So he was pretty excited about having his Don Beebe card autographed when he was a young kid. And also on the other ones here, Bill Chaya, he has, and for those of you not familiar with this one, his most valuable one is a 1978 Topps baseball card. Has Alan Trammell, Paul Molitor, UL Washington, and Mickey Klutz. Back in the old days, they would have rookie cards in which they would put like three or four rookies on a card so they get as many out there as they can. And some of those have four guys you go back and look through them. And I've got cards from that era, and these guys are just nobodies. And then once in a while, you'll get a couple. And this one here has got Molitor and Trammell on the same card just by chance.
Well, one of the top 10 all-time most valuable cards is a Pete Rose.
Right.
He's one of four faces.
Right, yeah. You know? Like a little round bubble with just his head on there. So that's one of the more valuable cards. Bill Chaya also, this is kind of interesting too, he also says, even cooler, he has a signed baseball by Peter Mayhew. And if your first question is, okay, what team do you play for? Didn't play for any team. Peter Mayhew was Chewbacca in the original Star Wars. Well, actually, in the recent Star Wars too. He's 7'2", British actor. He's 74 years old. I don't think the last one he didn't play Chewbacca. I don't think he moved around anymore, but he was Chewie. So to get an autograph, I don't know why he would autograph a baseball, but that's pretty slick. Steve Luttrell, I think it is. He's got a Randy Moss rookie card. And Ryan Heckman, one of our own, we talked to him quite a bit about the Bulls, and that he's one of our guests on here quite frequently. He's got several LeBron James rookie cards, and a few Kevin Garnett, Kobe rookies as well. So he says, from my prime collecting years as a middle school kid. So
That's basically where it was, right? I used to have a ton of 77, 78, 79. Those are all gone. Then I started up again in 84, 85, 86. So I got a ton of that. It's like when was your childhood? That's when most of your cards are from.
And that's kind of when you start getting into it. I started getting into it. My first love was basketball, NBA. And so I started getting into it in the early 70s. And then I really got into baseball, which has become my favorite sport, in the mid-70s. So my prize from a childhood memory, my prize is having the complete 1975 Topps baseball set. That, by chance, also has the George Brett and Robin Yount rookie cards in it as well. But as a kid,
Now, did you buy the whole set or did you put it together?
Oh, no, I put it together. I do odd jobs for my dad just to get a nickel here, a quarter there. And back then, I think the packs were a quarter. And as soon as I got three or four quarters, I'd run down to the grocery store or the drugstore, what you both had cards, and immediately blow the four quarters on four packs of cards to go open up and then fill them. And then my buddies would do the same thing. So then, of course, you get into trading. And we would trade basically commons and stars. Once in a while, I'll give you a star for three of your commons. The goal was to fill a full set. It wasn't necessarily to get your favorite player. You want your favorite player, but my first goal was to get my full Brewers, all the Brewers. But then after that, I wanted to get the entire set of, I think it was 660 cards. So that's one of my prized possessions. I had that full 75.
Did we talk about this 2 days ago? I got it. All my friends were card collectors. And so when we were 15, 16, 17, we were playing cards for cards.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go play cards, right, poker. And instead of for money, you would bring your baseball card collections. And then you would cash in cards for chips. Then we'd play poker for 2 or 3 hours. And at the end of the night, you would use your chips to, you could buy back as many cards as you could with your chips. Uh-huh. So you could buy stuff back. And then, what you couldn't buy back, the winners got to get. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. This went on for like 2 years. We got on a radio one time. We were doing a poker game on my birthday. And when word got out, and ZOK actually called us at like 3 a.m. And this is back before YouTube, when anybody could be a star.
Yeah.
So, wow, we were on the radio. That was a huge deal.
At 3 a.m.
the funny thing about it was we Brett Saberhagen, this was coming off. Saberhagen had that great rookie year.
Right.
So his rookie card shot way up. And so we were playing a lot of cards during his second and third year where the price hadn't come down quite yet. Mm-hmm. And, he was not doing as well. So we had to put a rule out, no more Saberhagen rookies. Because everybody would show up, and they'd be like, I'll put in my 7th Saberhagen rookies. We're like, nope, he's banned. We banned Brett Saberhagen from being cashed in.
Who's your favorite, who's your most valuable one, Alex?
I still have left?
You still have, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of my good stuff's gone. Like I said, Bill Gerling owns almost all of my
stuff. You sold all your stuff for paying off debts. Yeah, that's right.
But I've got a few Jeter rookies.
Okay.
And they've gone up. And I've got this Collector's Choice magazine, which had a Shaquille O'Neal cover and has a Shaquille O'Neal card. And I kept that in a wrapper.
Okay.
So older stuff, I've got a Johnny Bench from 1970, which is worth a lot, but it's in awful condition.
Right.
Some of those where you bought them and you can't sell them.
Right.
Kind of stuck with them.
And that's the era when we bought them. We bought them to collect them. We bought them to trade them. We played games where it's called flipping, where my buddies and I get together, and you actually had to, bounce them off a wall.
Right, which, of course, kills the value right there.
Right, exactly. Because you have to hit the wall, bounce back, and whatever card it's touching, you get that card. If it lands on 5 cards, you get all 5 cards. And so, but you had to bounce off the wall and come back. And so,
it's a good way to damage them.
Well, yeah, but we didn't care. We put it on our bikes, and made motor sounds on the bikes. The
yeah, that spoke thing. I never did that.
I heard about that a couple of times, but I did it with like doubles and triples that I had of really bad players.
But there's a guy I remember. There's a guy in Janesville, Wisconsin, and I'm trying to look him up right now. He was called the King of Commons.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I remember that, when I was at the Beloit Daily News, they were doing these Legends of Beloit Sports, and they're still doing it. Jim France is still there, and they're still doing it. So I have stories in the first three.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so we were doing a story on Tony Brizalera, which nobody outside of Beloit knows. He was a 1 year pitcher for the Braves. So we wanted to get the one Tony Brizalera card. And I found this guy and I drove up to Janesville. And sure enough, I mean, the guy's entire basement, he's got a big house, entire basement is just racks upon racks upon racks. So while I was there, I was like, got Jerry Kenney? Right? Jerry Kenney's another Beloit guy.
Sure.
Who played a couple years in the majors. She's like, oh, I got like four Jerry Kenneys. So I think that's kind of cool. If I had the kind of money, I'd do something like that.
Now, Jordan, you brought yours in here. And one of the ones you've got that I still want to get a couple of these, I want to get a Dean Lowry, Smolinski, and some Fred VanVleet cards. I don't collect anymore, but I still like to have those. You have a Smolinski card.
I do have a Smolinski card, and it's like, it's really cool just to see a guy, because if you look on the back, and, you know, it says where the player's from, Rockford, Illinois. It's pretty cool to see that. It's like on the second round by the Washington Nationals. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, little Jake Smolinski. He's diving for a ball right now by the Oakland Athletics. I mean, I have a few good cards. Chris Bryant rookie card, All-Star Game rookie card, which I adore.
Mm-hmm.
Massive Bumgarner rookie card. Maybe Calvin Johnson. I think it's probably my most valued one right now. I think that's really cool. Of course, yeah, like Devin Hester, Doyle Revis, other future Hall of Famers. Patrick Willis, too.
Yeah.
There's a few of them I have. And then, of course, I have two unique ones, a few unique ones, actually, like Carson Wentz, Joey Bosa, but they're NFL draft cards. So the cards he received while attending the draft, I think that's pretty cool. I haven't really seen them around.
And they might be a little more, obviously, more rare because you had to be in Chicago at that time to get them, or, of course, buy them online.
So some of those are kind of cool. There was a short-lived company that was doing called Future Stars cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a man on room.
Who?
The female goalie that signed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she had, I have her card.
Uh-huh.
It's worth a few bucks. So,
well, that's the one thing that because cards got so saturated in the 80s, there's so many companies out there. It's just to be Tops. I mean, in my childhood, growing up, it was just Tops. So,
right, and by the time the 80s came along, 85 especially, that's when it just exploded.
You had
with
Donruss, Upper Deck, Score, Fleer.
Sport Flix was for a while.
Yeah, and all
still
that.
The best.
And still. My favorite one, I'll tell you one, and I think I still have some of those. When I was a kid, they were baseball cards on the back of Twinkies. So you buy a Twinkie, the two-pack of Twinkies, mm-hmm. and then the cardboard that's underneath them was a baseball card. Mm-hmm. And I got to get the whole collection, and I have them. But the problem is, they have value, because that was really a big deal back then. They have value, but the problem is you can't find any of them that are clean because they all have grease stains on them from the Twinkies. What? And all mine have grease stains on the back.
Wait, there were certain players, or were they just randomly?
No, they were baseball cards. It was a full set of, I don't know how many it was at that time. This was around late
70s. That was a popular thing. There's a lot of, you can find a lot of cards that were part of, like, cardboard box tops.
Yeah, off of cereal boxes, stuff like that. I mean, that's the most famous, the Honus Wagner one. That's from a cigarette pack. That's not a straight. I mean, it wasn't part of a cigarette, but it was inserted in cigarette packs. The one that the famous Honus Wagner that everybody wants to get.
You know why the story of the Wagner card is so expensive?
Because he told him to stop making them because he didn't smoke.
Yep. Yeah. They did limited run on Honus Wagner, which is why there's so few of them.
Yeah, and it comes down to supply and demand. That's what the value is. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the cards we have and some of the ones I've got. A couple few more I want to talk about as well. So you listen to Sports Fan Radio 1330.
More Randy and Company after this on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
From the 13WREX newsroom, I'm Kristen Crowley. The Boone County Board approves a new solar farm project. It was 8-3 in favor of the solar farm. The company is called Syncarfa and is looking at 12 acres of land in Flora Township. This is the second solar farm coming to the area. The county board already approved a solar farm by Borrego Solar Company. A truck crashes into a McDonald's in Rockford. It happened at the McDonald's at Auburn Street and North Central Avenue. The fire department responded to a one person with a minor injury. Rockford police are investigating the cause of the crash. And Anderson Japanese Gardens announces a date for its annual Japanese Summer Festival. It's set for Saturday, July 28th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. It celebrates traditional cultural arts and includes demonstrations, exhibits, and performances. You are required to reserve a spot for the ceremony. From the 13WREX newsroom, I'm Kristen Crowley. Your accurate weather authority forecast is coming up next.
Dental Dimensions patient Debbie Traver talks about first impressions.
Welcome back to Sports Fan Radio 1330, Randy and Company. We're in the middle of our discussion about baseball cards and our collections and such, and we have a few minutes left here before we wrap up the first hour of the show. I want to go over a couple of ones that I have that I was going to go down and try to pull these out the other day, but I have so many of them. They're all in storage that I thought it'll take me more time to find them and less time to appreciate them. So I might take this weekend to start because it kind of got me, my juices flowing about looking at them again and seeing them again as it's been so long, you know, brings it back to being a kid. But some of the ones I have, and again, I began collecting in the early 70s. So I have a 1972 Julius Erving rookie card when he played for the Virginia Squires.
See, that, that's
ABA.
The one that I went, wow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many ABA cards are out there?
Yeah, not a lot. There was a lot back then. I think I have quite a few. I only have a full set, but you got the Kentucky Colonels and all these great, the LA, not Clippers, but...
Stars.
Stars, yes. Yeah, and so and the Memphis Tams. There were some crazy names back then in
See,
the ABA.
My favorite sports book of all time, and I've read a lot of them, is Loose Balls. About the ABA.
Yeah, I don't want to read that.
That is really good. And it's the modern way of writing biographies in that they don't sit there and do a lot of writing. They just introduce a subject and then let the people tell the stories.
Right.
And it is, you got to get this book. It's like the best book. Get it on your Kindle or whatever. You know, nobody buys it. It is. I'll reread it every once in a while just for fun.
Sure.
You know, because it's just, so it's hilarious. Because the ABA was, you look back on it, was a really good time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a nice alternative with the old red, white, and blue basketballs and the kind of almost the alternative way of playing a little more modern.
That is still the cooler ball.
It is.
Right? So the WNBA ripped them off, and they use WNBA uses the multicolor ball.
Right.
It's just, it's mesmerizing when, you know, when you shoot it properly, it's mesmerizing.
Different colors spin around. A couple other ones I got. I have a 74 Bill Walton rookie card. And I have a 72 Roger Staubach rookie, a 71 Terry Bradshaw rookie. And then I've got the one probably most valuable one that I had Walter Payton's rookie card, 75. And it was in very good condition. And back in 1993, 94, right around there, my boys were just getting old enough to start participating in it. Well, we're doing fun trips and vacations and stuff like that. I wanted to get a camcorder. So I went to a Belvedere collector and sold my Walter Payton rookie card for about $400. So I could afford to buy a camcorder to get my wife for Christmas so we can kind of have those memories. So it was a good trade-off for me. I was a Peyton fan, so that was okay. It was a good trade-off.
Walter Payton, though.
I know, and if I still had that, I'd be getting a lot more money than I got back then right now. So
let me ask you guys real quick. Are you guys still collecting them?
I'm not. No. I stopped collecting because I want to, but I have better things to spend money on right now.
I came up with a way to do it, but I just haven't gotten back into it.
Hey, we're going to take a break right now. It's halftime. We come back. We're going to talk to Bobby Reagan a little bit about the NBA and college basketball from Barstool Sports. So stick around. You're listening to Randy and Company on Sports Fan Radio 1330. And welcome back to the second half of Randy and Company on Sports Fan Radio 1330. My name is Randy Roof, Sports Director here at WNTA, along with my co-host Alex Gary and our producer Eric Jordan Gothy. We have a special guest on the line with us. We're going to talk a little basketball with him. He is Bobby Reagan. You can find him from Barstool Sports. You can find him online on Twitter at Barstool Rags, BarstoolRegs. He covers college hoops, NBA, and all things basketball for Barstool Sports. So, Bobby, thank you so much for taking time to be with us this morning.
Yeah, no problem. How you guys doing?
Good. Hey, before we get into basketball, we were just got over discussion about some of the best sports cards, baseball, basketball, football cards in our collections, the most valuable ones. I was curious, have you ever been a collector? And if so, what were some of your best cards?
Oh, I'm a collector. I have, remember those old lockers that you could get back in like the 80s and 90s
yeah.
with the team? Yeah, I have a whole one just filled with cards.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what my most valuable one would be, but I was a diehard Brady Anderson fan in the 90s.
Okay.
So I have every single card that he had.
Brady Anderson carried my fantasy league the year he hit 50 home runs, so I love that guy.
Yeah, I
mean, Brady Anderson. One of the great one-hit wonders.
That's my heart.
Let's jump in a little bit of basketball. Of course, the big news, of course, is the Kawhi Leonard trade. I just want to hear your thoughts on the trade, who won the trade, and then part two of that is all this talk about Kawhi sitting out with Toronto. I don't believe it's going to happen. I think it's a lot of nothing, so I would kind of get your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to sit out. I think people are running with it because he doesn't necessarily want to be in Toronto. But here's the deal. If he wants a max contract, he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to make money, he's going to play. It's as simple as that. and he's human, I think. I don't think he's a robot. So he's going to he wants money. He's going to play. It's as simple as that. And the fact that he's playing for a good team. Now, we know Kawhi's a little bit off, and he doesn't necessarily care about, I guess, playing for a good team. But, I mean, the Raptors have a legit chance to make the finals. And once you're in the finals, all it takes is a twisted ankle from Durant or Curry or, mm-hmm. you know, one of your guys, you know, one of your teammates gets hot for four games and you're a champion. So that's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, in terms of the trade, I don't know who won. Like, we still have to wait to see what happens, right? Like, we have to wait and see what ends up with the pick that's protected. You know, who does Spurs end up taking with that pick? How does that turn out? Does Kawhi stay in Toronto? Does Kawhi play? It makes sense from both sides. I would argue that the Spurs probably could have got a little bit more. The one thing, when you look at like what Paul George got and things like that, they took on, you didn't know who the players were. Like, yeah, Oladipo is now an All-NBA player. He wasn't that when he got traded. Sabonis was still like, okay, who exactly is this guy? He's a, you know, young guy. When you look at DeRozan, you know who DeRozan is, right? So you know who you're getting, which is the best player that we've seen traded when you look at the recent stars that have been traded. So it's one of those, I don't know, like the Spurs, they're trying to rebuild without necessarily rebuilding, and that's not the easiest thing to do. So we'll see what happens because, you know, they have players, they should contend, but they're set up a little bit weird. They don't have a lot of shooting, but they have a lot of mid-range shooting, which is not necessarily the best thing in the world.
Right. And they're in a situation in the West where they're right now, what would you say, third, fourth best in the West, and no one's going to touch Golden State. So it's almost a matter of would you want to go back into a full rebuild and start over, or because that halfway in the middle there, it might just keep them halfway in the middle, and they go in that NBA purgatory of always just being one of the, you know, 5, 6, 7 seeds in that, but never really getting a good draft pick as well.
Yeah, but in the West, with it being so dominant, you never know who you're going to play. Yeah. Right? Like, what if everyone's just saying, well, because of the Warriors. Well, what if the Warriors lose to, oh, I don't know, but let's say the Spurs are the 3 seed and the 6 seed and the Warriors are the 1 seed and they lose to, you know, the Pelicans, you know, or whoever in the semifinals.
Right.
Well, now you're, you know, now you just have to beat the Rockets. Let's say you match up great against the Rockets and now you're, you know, you still have it. So I don't think the Spurs necessarily need to completely rebuild because the West is a little bit different with just how good every team is.
Right.
That, you know, you never know who you're going to match up with. And in the West, it's almost like the NCAA tournament in the West where matchups are going to matter more than they will in the East.
Do you think that I saw somewhere that this trade, assuming that Kawhi plays and plays at full tilt, puts the Raptors as the top seed in the East and number one in odds-wise to make the finals? And I still don't think they surpass the Celtics. I'm curious where you think they rate right now, assuming that Kawhi comes back and plays like Kawhi has always played.
Well, right, I think the same thing has to be said about the Celtics. We don't know who the Celtics are, right? Like, we know last year's Celtics, but guess what? We never saw the Celtics with Gordon Hayward and with Kyrie Irving. So was last year's team just one that kind of fit the roles perfectly and ended up being, you know, the Celtics that we know? Or are they going to get better? They might get worse, as crazy as that sounds.
No, I agree with you there because if Kyrie Irving is a one-on-one kind of ball stopper kind of player.
Well,
and now,
well,
you know,
Kyrie
Tatum.
Like, Kyrie wasn't that with the Celtics last year, but now you're throwing in him and Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, now Tatum's not getting as many shots. Now Brown's not getting as many shots. Now Horford's not getting as many shots. It's just different. So, like, as many questions as there are about the Raptors, I still have those questions about the Celtics.
Okay.
But those are your top two teams in the East. Like, I think the Raptors, if Kawhi is Kawhi, is absolutely better than the Sixers.
Did you watch any of the Summer League action this summer?
Of course.
Okay. I assume so. Can you come through your observation of the players you saw? And particularly, I saw a lot of stories were really high on the Bulls, Wendell Carter Jr. Some saying that was the best performance of the Summer League. So can you give me your observations of him specifically, as well as some of the other top players you saw?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job with Wendell Carter. They set him up where They kind of ran the offense through him and let him, you know, play to his strengths, where he is a very high IQ passer, especially out of the high post. So they would let him kind of run those pick and pops, and then they'd run like a on the weak side, like a cut, and he'd give him the option almost of like a, you know, in like football terms, it was almost like a run pass option. What, except for Carter, it was a shoot pass option. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really smart on their part. He plays the role, you know. I think people forget how good he was at Duke because he was, you know, the third or fourth biggest name there. Kind of get buried a little bit, but he showed what I think everyone who either scouts or watches a lot of college basketball knows, and that's the fact that he can be a number one guy. Like, you can win with him as a number one guy. Now, obviously not as a rookie, but he has something there. My concern with the Bulls and Wendell Carter now is the signing of Jabari Parker, and I'm curious to see how the three fit with Parker, Carter, and Markkanen. So, I love the pick when they took Carter. I love that they just kind of took the, quote, safe pick instead of taking, like, a Michael Porter Jr., who I know a lot of Bulls fans wanted. And it is Summer League, so I try not to read too much into it. When I watch Summer League, I try to look at, okay, did they add anything to their game? Is there a change in their shot? Anything along those lines. And Carter was just consistent, which is what you want to see, especially out of a rookie. So I thought he had a really, really good Summer League. And Bulls fans should be excited about Wendell.
Well, you mentioned Porter, and I think the word came out Porter's going to have another back surgery. So,
yeah, it's not as invasive as the one he had in Missouri, and it's not a surprise either when you hear all the reports during the workouts and pre-draft process. So, but that's the nice thing about the Nuggets, like him going to the Nuggets, they don't have to rush him because Nuggets are still good with or without him. So you can sit there and do a Sixers move and just redshirt him for a year.
Well, and then that was the whole how did Tim Duncan end up on the Spurs? David Robinson hurt his back and sat out a season at the perfect time, so you get Tim Duncan. So, and part of the reason the Sixers got so good is Embiid did miss 2 years, which allowed them to get two more big high picks. So, in a way, sometimes those young injuries can kind of help, in a way.
Yeah, I think the Nuggets are still going to be good enough to get into the playoffs, so you're still talking about, pick number 18 or something like that, which this year was Lonnie Walker. You know, if you can add a piece like a Lonnie Walker, if you're the Nuggets, that's a win.
Bobby, we're talking about Bobby Reagan of Barstool Sports. You mentioned Jabari Parker's move to Chicago. A couple questions based on that. First of all, do you think it was the right move by the Bulls by the Bucks to let him go? And secondly, was the right move for the Bulls to take him because they also brought back Zach LaVine. So they put a lot of money into basically three torn ACLs right now.
Yeah, but from the Bulls side, bringing in Jabari Parker, it's essentially a one-year deal, right? It's a two-year deal with an option for the second year. So it's not a lot of risk. Right, like the Bulls weren't doing much with that $20 million anyways. It was just going to sit there. Like they weren't going to bring in, not like it cost them a big name or a long-term deal or anything like that. So I don't necessarily hate that. I know people kind of freaked out when they saw the money and everything like that. But at the same time, if Jabari plays well and turns into kind of the Jabari that everyone thinks he was going to be or could be, now you have a star that you got to set for cheap. Mm-hmm. And can, you own his rights, so you can offer him more money and everything like that, and now you can start building around that. For the Bucks, I don't know. Like, the question for me with the Bucks, and I don't know the answer yet, is what did Giannis want to do? Did Giannis want Jabari Parker or not?
Right.
So, if he wanted Jabari Parker and desperately wanted Jabari Parker, then the Bucks made a mistake because they need to do whatever it takes to keep Giannis happy.
And
if he was fine with him leaving, then it made sense because you had more shooting and everything like that.
And there was conflicting reports there earlier. Giannis said he's coming back no matter what, and then there was other reports that said that he didn't enjoy playing with him. So you don't really know the true story behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly.
One last question here. Among the free agents out there, I kind of got this a little bit from looking at some of your stuff, is the big names out there still available. Clint Capella, Marcus Smart, Montrezl Harrell, Rodney Hood. Some of these are restricted, some are unrestricted. Kind of give me a prediction for you. What do you think of the next moves that might be made and who might be going where?
Well, we know Smart's pretty much about to sign with the Celtics on a four-year deal. I think that's going to be done, today, I would assume, if not tomorrow. The big one for me is Clint Capela. Now, all the reports are the Rockets are either going to match or he's going to come back on the qualifying offer, which is like a one, you know, just a one-year deal or kind of cheap, and then he hits the unrestricted market next year. Whatever he does is what I'm interested in because Clint Capela is a very, very good young center that fits today's NBA. And the Rockets are obviously ready to contend. What happens if, you know, let's just say for whatever reason, the Kings throw him $20.5 million and then, you know, the Rockets have to match that and everything along those lines? Or what happens if he just comes back on the qualifying option and then hits unrestricted next year? Free agency next year is going to be even more insane than this year because of A, the names that are free agents, and B, a lot of those terrible contracts from a couple of years ago are falling off the book. So there's going to be teams with money to spend. So Clint Capela is one that I'm most interested in.
It's interesting, though, you mentioned the. I wonder if these guys all learned a lesson from 2 years ago because a lot of them spent, like, you know, the old drunken sailor cliche and are paying for it now with these bad contracts.
Yeah, and that's why I think next year you'll see, you know, when those contracts fall off, that, okay, we can be aggressive, but we can't be as aggressive as a couple of years ago.
Right, right. Any other surprise moves, maybe? One you think a trade that might happen or a surprise signing that you might see coming this summer yet?
No, I don't think you'll see anything this summer. I think the names have kind of already happened, right? Like everyone was waiting for Kawhi and what the Raptors were going to do, not necessarily together, but a lot of people kind of thought, okay, the Raptors are going to try to move either DeRozan or Lowry. Well, it just happened that, you know, two birds with one stone from the reporting side got done with the Kawhi trade. So I don't know who else is out there that is a plausible trade option. So I think it'll be quiet the rest of the summer, and then once the season gets going, I think we'll see some trades happening.
So, you know, we're from Rockford, so our guy is Fred VanVleet, and we were kind of just saying before, does this mean, you know, Fred's a starter? What do you see Toronto running out as their starting five?
I think you still keep Fred on the bench because he showed how important that second unit is, and he's perfect in that role. So Toronto, you look at, you know, Lowry, Ananobi, Valanciunas, and Kawhi are four starters. I'd probably start Danny Green, too, as your fifth. And then I'd let Fred come in as your sixth man, you know, lead the second unit because we saw the Raptors were able to get the one seed last year because of the bench, and a lot of that fell on VanVleet. So I think that's the perfect role for him again with this team. And he's playing, he's almost like Mando, where he's playing starter minutes.
That's true. Well, he's Bobby Reagan, guys, of Barstool Sports. Bobby, thank you so much. If you want to read more of Bobby's stuff, check him out on Twitter. It's at Barstool Regs, R-E-A-G-S. Bobby, again, thanks for being with us again. Great stuff, as always. And we look forward to bringing you back when we get closer to the NBA season again.
All right, have a good one, guys.
All right, take care. We'll take a break here. Listen to Sports Fan Radio, 1330.
From the 13 WREX Newsroom, I'm Kristen Crowley. The Boone County Board approves a new solar farm project.
Welcome back to Sportsman Radio 1330. Randy and company again. A special thank you to Bobby Reagan of Barstool Sports talking a little NBA with us. That was a great discussion. And now, as we do every Thursday, you can set your clocks to it. 7:15. It is Thomas Gomez, our own Thomas Gomez, coming to talk a little about NASCAR action from last week, this week, and everything else in between. How you doing, Thomas?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Now, we're just talking off the air that Danica hosted ESPYs last night, but you didn't watch it.
No.
That didn't turn me on too much either. So
I'll watch the NASCAR Awards later this year.
When are those?
Or next year. It's after the season concludes. Oh, I want to say it's November,
that's
December.
That's the thing?
Yeah.
They have NASCAR? How long has that been around?
Oh, forever.
It's been a while.
You don't know.
I know that.
You don't know that.
It's a huge show. I knew they had one.
Yeah, what channel is it on?
Who cares what channel it's on? There's 500 channels out there. It probably moves around, but yeah, I know about that show.
Who hosted it last year?
I don't watch it. I just know that it exists. I'm one step ahead of you just by knowing it exists.
Sure. Has it been around a long time, though?
Yeah, it's been around, yeah.
Really? I don't know where I've been.
This is back when they did the NASCAR on horse and buggy. It was still on. That was some good ones there. Dale Earnhardt Sr. dominated back then, too, on the horses and buggies. Yep.
What about Richard Petty?
Rick Petty did, too. Yeah, it was pretty good. And then they had open wheel horse. That was something. Most of those races were road races, though. So, Thomas is just stunned. This is going nowhere. It's going the wrong direction here. So, give us a little report. Come up what happened last week in NASCAR action.
All right,
last
so we're coming out of Kentucky. It was a mostly green flag run. Truex led a majority of the race, allowing him to win stage one, two, and the race.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting the race win there. So Truex has won a total of four races this year, which is one less than Harvick and Busch, who are currently sitting at five each.
Okay.
The big three have now won 14 out of the 19 races this season. So, and that's actually tying the record for three drivers to win four more races in the first 19 races.
Mm-hmm.
The record was set in 1974 with the big three then being Cale Yarborough, who won eight races, Richard Petty with six, and David Pearson with four wins.
With some names out of the past there.
And if you add those up, that comes up for 18 wins out of 19 races.
Wow.
So that was even more of a dominance back in 74.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I mean, NASCAR tries to make it so that everybody has a chance to win every week.
Mm-hmm.
Are they happy with this? Are you trying, you know, or are they kind of wink, wink, letting, you know, three guys kind of stand out to, you know, to build some name recognition because NASCAR is kind of going through this, you know, new generation of drivers? You know, there's always, you know, conspiracy theories when
right.
it comes to, you know, what they allow for car setups.
Yeah, it's really just the drivers and how well they're racing and the car that they have. Of course, they want, you know, everyone to get a chance to win and everything. But if another driver has the dominance and can do it, they're going to do it. Especially nowadays with a lot of the cars practically being the same, it's just comes down to talent and the driver.
So they don't mind. I mean, and you probably can't speak if you have NASCAR, but
right.
if they want more of that parity kind of what NFL has and you've got dominance, is that okay, I guess? I mean, it may be okay is a bad word to say, but I mean, is
fans
that what they
aren't a big
for?
Fan of it.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it happens. I mean, it happened in 74, and it's happening now.
Sure.
Yeah, so then upcoming this weekend, we have New Hampshire Speedway. It's a one-mile track. It's a track we have not visited yet this season, but we'll visit again in the playoffs. The winner of this race last year was Denny Hamlin, and the winner of this playoff race last year was Kyle Busch. So it's a track that's similar to Dover and Phoenix, which are also one-mile tracks. But looking at both Dover and Phoenix, Kevin Harvick won both of those. So, again, we're looking at two of the big three already at just one of these tracks. So, for ones to watch, an emphasis on watch because the big three have been dominating and we can expect that to continue.
Yeah.
So, the ones I say to watch or to keep an eye on are the ones most likely to perform. Well, Kyle Larson, who started last in the race last year and finished second, proving that he can move through the field, and then started and finished second in the playoff race last year. And then your favorite, Matt Kenseth, finished fourth and third in these races last year.
Cheese head all the way.
And it proves if he qualifies well and can hold his position, he can likely advance to the front. And he is racing this weekend.
Oh, okay. How many races has he raced? I know he's been on and off.
His contract just extended, so he's going to be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the exact number.
But he's been kind of on and off. He has been consistent this year to this point. So.
When is this race?
Sunday.
Is it Sunday? Are we done with the Saturday races? I hate the Saturday night races.
Ooh.
Can't stand it.
There might be another couple coming.
Why don't you like Saturday night races?
Because almost every Saturday race I've missed to set my lineup, only the Saturday races. It's happened three or four times this year.
I just forget about it. So if we talk fantasy, I won by a landslide because nobody else picked the drivers.
Yeah. That's what you just told me the other day, that they all missed it.
Thomas competed against himself. Me and Jackson both forgot to
fill our
lines.
You did finish last too, though, right?
Yeah, technically, yeah. I like burst.
There you go. Glass half full.
I think next year, Jordan, to really prove yourself, I think you should run and win the Rockford Speedway Fantasy League.
Is there a league?
No, I'm saying you, the man, you could create this.
Would you play Alex?
In that, yes. If you do that, it'd be you and me one-on-one. I'll just call Doug Goodman every week and tell him and he'll tell me who's going to win, but that's fine. I'll do that.
Okay.
Let's get us up. Let's get a little website going. Randy, you want to play?
I'll pick it. Can I pick Kenseth for Rockford Speedway?
No.
Okay. I'll have to get a local guy then.
You could write him in.
Okay. If I'm not spending money, I'll do that. If I'm spending money, they'll take it serious.
We'll put a penny in.
Okay. Well, now I'm serious.
All right. And with the playoffs right around the corner, drivers have started testing the Charlotte Road Course, which is something new that will debut in the playoffs this year. And they're finding out that it's trickier than they expected. A couple drivers have already crashed just while practicing. or made contact with the wall. So drivers don't really know what to expect, and it's definitely going to be a wild card to look forward to in the playoffs.
How many more races till the playoffs? Do you know?
Oh, I want to say seven, oh, so six or seven.
Still a decent amount of time
it
between them.
It begins in mid September.
And you said that is that the first race or first playoff race there or first road course?
This
in
is the first
playoffs?
Time Charlotte is or NASCAR's. NASCAR and Charlotte Motor Speedway are introducing a road course into the playoffs.
Okay, so road course never been in the playoffs before.
They may have, but this is the first time it's really made a comeback. Because okay. Most recent years, we haven't had a road course. And a lot of fans, particularly, aren't a fan of not having a road course because the road course really shows the driver's talent.
Yeah, I was going to say, again, being an outsider, not following it, but I would think you'd want to get as much variety in the playoffs as you can. So it kind of shows that you're the best driver in any condition, and right. That's just in the same situation.
And the same kind of controversy goes along with Homestead always being the last race.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why can't we switch it up? Why does Homestead always have to be the last race?
Yeah.
So if one driver performs really well at Homestead and they make it to the Final Four, you can count on them winning the championship. But if we switched it up a little bit, it would really change who could technically win the championship.
Is there a reason why it is, or is it just tradition?
It happens, yep, tradition, yeah, I want to say.
You know, since we're going down to the wire, you said about six, seven, eight races, you know, going somewhere down to the playoffs. I think we have to start bringing up the question now. Jimmy Johnson, arguably one of the best racers, if not the best racer of all time. What's his deal this year? Because he's really struggling. He's nowhere near the top.
I want to say it's been one of his longest winless streaks, for sure. He's not doing too hot.
Because last year he was decent, but the year before that he was dominant. What happened?
If he can get one win before the playoffs, we'll see where it takes him.
Do you think he can get in points, though?
I don't think so. I don't think he's on it in points right now.
That's pretty big. Can you imagine Jimmy Johnson not in the top 16?
Yeah.
I don't think that would ever be a possibility.
But if he doesn't get it this year, he's going to continue because I just saw that Chad Knaus signed a two-year agreement. His crew chief signed a two-year agreement to continue on with Hendrick Motorsports. So you can expect Jimmy Johnson to stick around.
Former Jefferson Jayhawk alum. Just got to throw that in there.
Once a Jayhawk?
Even though the crew chief, once a Jayhawk, always a Jayhawk. Even though the crew chief resigned, do you still think, are you confident that Jimmy Johnson will come back?
If he
misses the chase,
he's
this
won
year?
Seven championships. I mean, he'll have a comeback. If really? He's not doing hot right now, he'll have a comeback.
Okay. So last night was the 2018 ESPYs. We talked about that briefly. Martin Truex Jr., who won last week's race, was actually named the best driver. Do you believe that's the case, or is there someone else who thinks a better driver out
well,
there?
Well, he's the champion from last year, so
but
I can
right
see
now,
that
today, right now, you think he's the best driver?
He's one of them because there's the big three right now. So,
but if you had to pick one, would it be Truex? Did ESPN get it right?
Well, but ESPN's based on last year. That's the thing. It's not based on now.
Well, I mean,
because they're doing
it's not all last year. I mean, it's sort of this year too.
I don't know how much
it's just right now because you started the voting ended like a few days ago.
But even then, I mean, you look at a guy who won the championship and he's still in the big three right now. So there's no reason why he wouldn't get it.
What about Kyle Busch? So you can't forget about him. He's been dominant.
Who?
Kevin Harvick. Wait, how about that?
I would say Truex is fair because he won the championship last year and is still continuing to dominate this year. I'd say that's fair.
All right. Well, that's Thomas Gomez, our own Thomas Gomez, giving us our NASCAR report. Thank you so much, Thomas. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you next Thursday. Yes.
Don't we need our picks?
Oh, I need your picks. Yeah, I'm sorry. Holy cats, go.
So I'm going to go with Matt Kenseth, actually.
Attaboy.
It's a shocking pick. We said with the track record is what, New Hampshire this week?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm feeling Matt Kenseth here.
All right. I want to stay away from the big three as much as possible, so I'm going to go with mine as Kyle Larson.
He doesn't like his money. He likes his favorite, but he doesn't like his money. He's staying the big three.
I have to count how many times you picked Kyle Larson this year.
I think maybe two or three times.
Yeah, I find that pretty low.
I try to stay away from him in the big three as much as possible.
I think you picked him more, Jordan, than he's picked him.
Kyle Larson twice this year.
Yeah, I think so.
This might be my second. I want to say Michigan was my first pick, and then this might be my second.
He dominates at Michigan.
I think you're the closet Kyle Larson fan.
No, my boy Kevin Harvick.
All right. We'll see how it goes. We'll wrap that up next week. We'll find out. Hit some bragging rights here
as
in the building.
As long as Jordan remembers to pick his drivers.
Well, yeah.
Can I get a reminder text set up?
You can do that on your phone, you know.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Thomas, for being with us. Appreciate it. And we look forward to talking again next Thursday.
All right. Great. Thank you.
All right. We'll take this break here. We'll be back with Eric Lambert talking some Chicago Bears on Sportsman Radio 1330.
Anytime, guys.
So how excited are you about this time of year? I mean, I would assume that you're chomping at the bit because you get between OTAs and camp, there's not a whole lot going on.
Oh, you have no idea. You know, after a while, you just run out of stuff to talk about. So, you know, this time of year can't come fast enough.
What'd you do between that time? I mean, I've been writing. I know on Sports Rocker, I've seen many of your stories and all that stuff. But what else have you been doing during that time? Is that your break time, vacation time, or?
you could call it that. But, you know, I always try to stay busy, you know, keep myself sharp because this time of year can get pretty busy. But I also help out with other odd jobs at the sites I work for. So I find a way to keep busy enough.
I was saying on the other day that I can't remember it, probably going back to either when John Fox was hired or maybe going back to when Cutler, when they traded for Cutler. It just seems like there's more of a buzz right now about the Bears. And logically, because we're in Rockford, Illinois, and that it's going to be Bears fans are going to be excited every year because it's a fresh new year. But I'm even seeing it from a national perspective. It seems like more people are looking at the Bears as, you know, keep an eye on them. In fact, there's a Bleacher Report story that ranked them as the most underrated team in the NFL. As well, there seems to be more excitement and buzz about this team this year than in past.
Oh, without question, and there's a lot of reasons for it. You know, they've gone in the space of a few years from one of the oldest teams in the NFL to one of the youngest, and when you start examining all the positions that they've been overhauling, you're starting to see more young players, but also faster players, a lot of speed on this team compared to last year. And, you know, speed is everything in this league. When you have a lot of fast guys, you can cover up for a lot of mental mistakes. And once the mental mistakes start to disappear, that's when your team can get really good. So a lot of people are taking notice of that. You've got a young quarterback now, Mitch Trubisky. He's got a ton of weapons around him. And he's also got a hot young offensive mind in Matt Nagy, who's very charismatic. He comes across well in interviews. And you throw all that together, and it sort of creates that buzz that people are talking about.
The biggest news probably coming into camp, of course, is the status of top pick Roquan Smith. What's the latest news you've been hearing and seeing, and do you expect him? I expect he will sign eventually. When do you expect that to happen?
Well, people forget that last year Mitch Trubisky came down to the wire in terms of his contract as well, and his happened right as training camp was opening. So I expect something to get done shortly with Roquan. Normally in these situations, the discussions over the contract are due to offset language and things like that, and it should get cleared up relatively quickly. Ryan Pace is usually known for dragging these things out to make sure everything's covered, so I'm not too worried about it.
All right. What are some of the biggest stories coming in then for you? What are you looking forward to seeing in the first couple of days of camp?
Well, the biggest thing for me is to see how this new offense starts to measure up against the Bears' defense. We know the Bears' defense is a proven commodity, a top-10 unit. So they're going to be good. We know that with Vic, especially with Vic Fangio coming back. But I want to see how Trubisky and the offense start to execute against them, if they can start winning their fair share of battles, because that's when you'll know for sure that this group is going in the right direction, because it was always the defense mostly winning in certain situations. And we all know how competitive Mitch Trubisky is. So he's probably coming into this with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. So that should be fun to watch.
I saw a story. In fact, I think it was one of the stories you wrote about the potential complexity, maybe not so much complexity, but the attention to detail, I think was the theme of your story, that the offense that Mitchell Trubisky had to learn. He's had plenty of time to learn it via the book, but it's different when you're actually out in the field and executing it too. Do you think that's going to, with a whole new offense he's seeing now with Nagy, what sounds like a complex offense, or at least a very detailed offense, do you think that's going to slow him down a little bit? And I don't say slow in his progress, but I think it'll take a little time to really get smooth with this offense?
I think it'll probably take a bit of an adjustment period, but not nearly as much as people are going to blow it out to be. I think probably the first few practices he's going to struggle a little bit to get things down timing with his receivers, you know, learning, making sure to spit out the language properly. But he's a smart guy, so I'm not too worried about that. I imagine once we get around to preseason, he'll be acting a little more smoothly, and I actually think he'll execute pretty well in preseason considering how in-depth he's burying himself in the offense and how tightly he's with his backup quarterbacks, who both have knowledge of the offense. That's going to help him. And Matt Nagy's always in his ear, so he's got a ton of guys around him who are helping him and can really, you know, help him with the understanding the offense more than some other occasions that he's encountered already. So I think he's going to be, you know, pretty far along, further along than people realize by the time preseason and regular season roll around.
I would think one of the nice things, too, is when you have multiple new guys like Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, and, of course, the rookies and all, that they're learning together. So no one's – I mean, on the one hand, you like some guys that are established that can kind of help the other players, but when they're all learning together, they're all getting that same message, and sometimes that's a good thing.
Oh, without question. And the one thing I've been noting about all these guys is you're starting to notice that all of them are really hungry types. you know, Trubisky's motivated because people are still already calling him a bust, even though it's only been a year. You got Allen Robinson, he's coming back from that knee, and people are thinking, oh, is he ever going to be the same as he was in 2015? Taylor Gabriel, they think he's a one-trick pony, so he's got something to prove. And then Anthony Miller, I mean, their second-round receiver, nobody carries a bigger chip on their shoulder than him. If you read his blog, it's pretty impressive how motivated he is. So, and not to mention Trey Burton, people don't think he can be a full-time tight end. So there's a lot of guys with something to prove on this offense, and it's actually pretty fun to watch them talk.
The Bears, you know, they get an extra week. They're starting this week ahead of most because they're in the Hall of Fame game on August 2nd. Is that extra week, how much of that is a blessing, how much of it is a burden? Because you get extra time to prepare, but it's also, it drags the preseason on a week longer, of course. There's more potential for injury, stuff like that. So do you look at that extra week as a good thing or a bad thing?
I definitely see it as more of a good thing. Yeah, the injuries are the big drawback. You always worry about that stuff. But I think it's extra work time for both the coaches and the players that can be extremely valuable. But also, it gives Matt Nagy and his crew an extra game to evaluate the bottom of the roster to see if maybe there's some hidden gems down there. I pointed out that back when Lovie Smith was first starting, they played in the Hall of Fame game in 2005. And one of the standouts in that game was Rashid Davis, the eventual wide receiver they had. He was actually on defense at that particular time. He had a great game, and he ended up making the team as an undrafted free agent and ended up becoming one of their biggest playmakers in the playoffs. So you never know how important those games can be until you realize you found somebody pretty special in those circumstances. So I think it's a definite benefit.
And I would agree, because I think a young team, it's a benefit. If this is a very veteran team, I think they'd be all looking at this as, oh, my God, not an extra game, not an extra 5 days. You probably have a bunch of guys with, quote, injuries or holdouts and stuff as well if it's a veteran team. You had a piece earlier this week also on players on the hot seat entering camp. Kind of give me a rundown of some of the players you think will be on the hot seat this year for the Bears.
Sure. I think mostly on offense, there's really not a lot of guys who are feeling that sort of heat. I would say, you know, none of the wide receivers, because it's been so overhauled, although I guess you could say Josh Bellamy and some of the veterans who managed to survive. I would say Bryce Callahan on defense. He's in their nickel corner the past couple years, but he's had a hard time staying healthy. I think he's got a lot to prove. I think Jonathan Ballard, their former third-round pick at defensive end, you know, people have been expecting him to take the next step, and he hasn't quite done it. He's shown flashes, but right now he's fighting for a starting job against Roy Robinson-Harris, so he's another one to watch. And I would say Danny Trevathan, their inside linebacker, even though he's probably one of their better defensive players, he's had a hard time staying healthy, not to mention dealing with some suspension issues. So he's another guy who's probably feeling the heat of it, especially after they just drafted Roquan Smith.
Well, wouldn't Mitch Trubisky be feeling most of the heat? Because Goff made a big jump, Wentz made a big jump, you've brought in a new coach with modern offensive abilities. If Trubisky doesn't make a big jump, then do you start wondering, you know, what were all those draft picks worth it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that's going to be in the minds of the fans. Do I think it's going to be in the minds of him? Probably not, especially from the way he carries himself. He's a confident guy, and he believes he's going to play really well this year, and it's hard not to believe in him. But absolutely, I mean, if he flops, like throwing more interceptions and touchdowns and stuff, then he's absolutely going to be on the hot seat. But it's all about will he make as big a jump as Goff? That's kind of hard to, you know for sure. Does he have to? Not necessarily, because he's got a good team around him. But you know, if he makes some progress, I think he'll be fine and people won't really rag on him that much.
Eric, we had a long conversation earlier on our show about cards we've all, you know, collected growing up. And I'm curious to know if you collected cards growing up. If so, what are some maybe notable cards you've collected over the years?
You mean like cars I've driven?
Cards. Baseball cards, football cards.
Oh, I was more of a baseball card collector, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, I remember I had a great Michael Jordan card from his minor league days. I was actually somehow proud of that.
That's worth a decent amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. I bet it was. I bet it still is. I think I still have that. I believe I have a Shaquille O'Neal rookie card, so that's another one I always enjoyed getting, and also a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. So, you know, I actually came away came away with some pretty good stuff back then, and I was a heavy, heavy collector, but I sort of phased out of it after a while, but it's some good memories for me.
So getting now ready for camp, what's your kind of your schedule now with training camp? How often do you go, and what do you do during the next 3, 4, 5 weeks?
I'll probably find a way to get down there a couple of times, but I'm just trying to keep track of some particular position battles that I've been noting. There's actually a lot of high profile ones this year, and it makes it even more interesting and more fun to follow because, you know, these aren't the types of battles where it's just you don't know what you have at the position and you're just seeing who's going to step up. These are actually some good players going against each other for the right to start. And it just goes to show how much this roster has improved. And, you know, that's really exciting to me.
Well, he's Eric Lambert, the Bears insider for Sports Mockery and draft analyst for NFL Mocks. Find him on Twitter at EricLambert1. That's EricLambert, the number one. You can also go to sportsmockery.com. Eric's got a ton of stories in there. You've been writing your fingers off for the last several weeks now. I've seen a lot of stories. I went back and started doing some research, and they kept going and going and going. So you're really working hard. Good stuff for all you Bear fans. Also, check it out. Eric, thanks again for joining us, and we'll be keeping in touch over the course of the next, probably 8, 9, 10 months of preseason and the regular season.
Sounds great, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right, we'll return to Sports Fan Radio 1330 and Randy and Company right after this.
More Randy and Company after this on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
From the 13WREX newsroom, I'm Kristen Crowley. The Boone County Board approves a new solar farm project. It was 8-3 in favor of the solar farm. The company is called Syncarfa and is looking at 12 acres of land in Flora Township. This is the second solar farm coming to the area. The county board already approved a solar farm by Borrego Solar Company. A truck crashes into a McDonald's in Rockford. It happened at the McDonald's at Auburn Street and North Central Avenue. The fire department responded to a one person with a minor injury. Rockford police are investigating the cause of the crash. And Anderson Japanese Gardens announces a date for its annual Japanese Summer Festival. It's set for Saturday, July 28th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. It celebrates traditional cultural arts and includes demonstrations, exhibits, and performances. You are required to reserve a spot for the ceremony. From the 13WREX newsroom, I'm Kristen Crowley. Your Accurate Weather Authority forecast is coming up next.
Hey, I'm Jordan Goldthy with your sports update. Last night at the 2018 ESPYs, there were a lot of awards that were handed out, like the Best Male Athlete went to Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals. A little bit of a surprise there. The Best Female Athlete went to Chloe Kim, the snowboarder. How about the Best Breakthrough Athlete in Utah's Donovan Mitchell, the former lottery pick, turned out to be the Rookie of the Year runner-up. Should have been Rookie of the Year, but he is now the Breakthrough Athlete of the Year. The best game went to U.S. women's hockey when they defeated Canada in the gold medal match this past Winter Olympics, which was amazing. The best moment went to the Minnesota Vikings when they defeated the Saints in the NFC divisional round after a last-second Hail Mary. And of course, the best team award went to the Houston Astros. Staying in baseball, the Dodgers have acquired Manny Machado from the Orioles in exchange for 5 prospects, which include 1 top prospect. And over in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors have acquired Kawhi Leonard from San Antonio in exchange for DeMar DeRozan in a 2019 first-round pick.
It's time to get signed up for the 34th annual Swedish American State Street Mile, the fastest mile in the Midwest, Saturday, August 4th at 5 p.m. with 5 divisional races for runners of all ages and an award ceremony immediately following the races. Don't miss the State Street Mile, sponsored by Swedish American, a division of UW Health, with proceeds to benefit the Rockford Sports Coalition and Rockford Wildcats youth running team. For registration or more information, visit SwedishAmerican.org or go to Facebook.com/State Street Mile Rockford.
Hi, everybody. I'm 13 Weather Authority meteorologist Vicki Knapp with your accurate forecast. We stay primarily dry for the first half of your Thursday, with temperatures warming into the upper 70s with increasing clouds and humidity. Showers and thunderstorms will move in this afternoon and evening and continue overnight with lows in the mid-60s.
Welcome back to Sports Fan Radio 1330. Randy and Company for the last segment of our terrific Thursday. That's not really as good alliteration, is it? But our Thursday show. Special thanks earlier this morning to Bobby Reagan coming on from Barstool Sports to talk a little NBA and and other sports as well. And then, of course, Eric Lambert's got off the phone with Eric Lambert talking Chicago Bears. Training camp opens tomorrow for the Bears. Football is finally here. I'm excited as heck about that. Not that I'm still a big baseball fan. I'm still following it, but it's nice to have another sport out there. I'll be honest, like I said to Eric, I'm really tired of talking NBA, which seems to be the only talk for days in and days out. But speaking of that, right now, one thing we did forget to talk about is the fact that right now the British Open is going on.
It's actually my favorite golf tournament because you can wake up and watch it. Right, you get up, yeah. It's like going on early in the morning. It doesn't drag on all day. It's done by noon.
Yeah, that's I like that too. How's it looking right now with the British Open?
So right now, Kevin Kistner's off the course with -5, and so he's leading. Spieth is -3 in the 13th hole or 14th hole. Spieth hasn't won in a year.
Really?
Yeah, his putting is—he's actually below average putter on tour this year, and that's the difference in his game because he was a magic putter and. That just hasn't been there. So,
sure.
McIlroy and Dustin Johnson are early in their rounds. Mickelson was +2. The thing about Mickelson is he has a terrible British Open record. He's only had one good British Open. That's the one he won.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Ernie Els is still playing golf. You know, he's getting up there. He's a +2. And Tiger doesn't tee off for another 3 hours.
Okay.
So, that's the way they do it in those early rounds is they try to mix the big names. So that you have somebody to watch at all times.
Sure.
So Spieth was the early guy. McIlroy and Johnson are the guys you want out there now. And then Tiger will be the guy in the afternoon.
Well, thanks, Alex, for being with us for 3 days this week. I know it's been kind of hard probably by day three to get up in the morning.
I'm going home to take a nap.
I think you need a big, long nap. Tomorrow, speaking of this kind of convoluted week that we've had with Matt Trubridge on vacation, the lovely, the talented Paul Arco will visit us on a Friday. So that's really going to throw everybody's calendar off. It's going to throw my calendar off because I just don't know how to deal with Paul. we'll have Robert Murray on with us tomorrow talking some baseball. Robert Murray just got a new position as the Brewers beat writer at the Athletic, but he's been the general Major League Baseball writer in the past, so we'll talk some baseball with him. Until then, have a nice Thursday. Stay dry. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Randy and Company. And until then, take care, everybody.